Good morning. It's Monday, June 29th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Coming up, a new historical walk honors some of the immigrants who helped settle Wichita's North End.
You know, the older generation is passing away, and our younger generation needs to know our history. I think the community just needs to know that we've been here a long time. Mm-hmm. We've been in this community, we've been in this state, we've been in this country a very long time.
We'll talk to some of the people behind the Woodland Park Historical Walk coming up after the news. The Kansas Supreme Court ruled Friday that the death sentences for two Wichita brothers will stand. Jonathan and Reginald Carr were convicted of a crime spree in December of the year 2000 that ended with the rape and killing of five people. The brothers' legal team pushed for resentencing because of issues with how the crimes were labeled between the trial and sentencing. The state Supreme Court rejected that argument and says the brothers' death sentences still stand. The Carr brothers have asked Governor Laura Kelly's office for a pardon on that sentence. The U.S. Supreme Court has overturned a jury award for a St. Louis man who successfully sued the makers of Roundup, claiming the herbicide gave him cancer. As Harvest Public Media's Frank Morris reports, the ruling derails other lawsuits.
John Durnell claimed that years of using Roundup gave him blood cancer. A jury agreed and awarded him $1.25 million, chiefly because there's no cancer risk warning on the Roundup label. The World Health Organization says that Roundup is probably carcinogenic to humans, but the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency disagrees. It's found no link to cancer, and it's in charge of warning labels. Bridget Rollins at the National Agricultural Law Center at the University of Arkansas says the court found that Bayer, the maker of Roundup, can't be sued in state court for complying with federal regulations.
The federal law is the deciding factor here, and now these failure to warn claims cannot come to court.
That's a blow to thousands of litigants who think Roundup gave them cancer. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Frank Morris.
In some parts of Kansas, groundwater has become polluted with enough nitrates that it can be used to offset fertilizers in agriculture. Kansas State University is reminding farmers to check irrigation wells for nitrates. If the nitrate levels are high, farmers won't need to add as much additional nitrogen to their soil. Soil fertility professor for K-State, Nathan Nelson, says nitrates pose a serious health risk, but in this case it can lead to fertilizer efficiency, saving farmers money.
It would be better to have historically managed our nitrogen such that we didn't have nitrates in the irrigation water, but it's important to consider this option.
Nelson says polluted water wells with higher levels of nitrates could save farmers 135 pounds of fertilizer per acre. The Kansas Department of Health and Environment is awarding grants to 15 organizations to help fight chronic illnesses. Beck Shackelford Wanganga of the Kansas News Service reports.
United Way Flint Hills, a nonprofit in Emporia, won $45,000. Jessica Reth is the community food and housing coordinator. She says much of her region is rural and residents struggle with a lack of sidewalks or parks for physical activity. Reth says things like exercise, a healthy diet, and avoiding tobacco reduces the risk of developing a chronic illness.
Our hope is to help assist our community and make sure we can remove the barriers that folks are experiencing in the community when it comes to adopting those healthy habits.
The 15 organizations awarded grants cover 25 counties. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Beck Shackelford Wanganga.
10 Kansans just graduated from a new state program to increase the public skills for finding and eating wild foods. Harvest Public Media's Celia Yopis-Jepson reports.
The Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks has seen strong interest in workshops on wild foods, like picking wild greens and trapping squirrels. So it launched a wild foods pilot program. Participant Marley Shakurney of Wichita now feels confident about finding food in the wild.
I could hunt and bring something home. I could fish and feed my family. I think that is awesome. It's been a wonderful way for me to get back into nature.
The State Wildlife Department has limited staff for public workshops, so the program trains volunteers to teach field-to-fork skills in their communities. I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson, Harvest Public Media.
Kansas State University is offering a new agriculture program that will allow more students around the state to enroll. Students in K-State's Diversified Agriculture Program will be able to take courses at the main campus in Manhattan, at a new K-State office in Garden City, or entirely online. The bachelor's degree program will let students combine courses in agriculture with business, communication, and other areas specific to their career goals. K-State is also expanding the number of credits students can transfer from two-year colleges up to as many as 75 credits. Music Theater Wichita is planning a sensory-friendly performance of Elf the Musical for people with special needs. The production will allow people to react naturally without worrying about impacting the experience for other audience members. Theater leaders say the house lights will stay on for the show and startling effects will be more mellow. The matinee is July 9th at 1 p.m. in the Century 2 Concert Hall. More information is on Music Theater Wichita's website at mtwichita.org. Wichita animal advocates are urging people to consider adopting a dog or cat as the city's animal shelter hits capacity. The Wichita Animal Shelter takes in lost, stray, or abandoned animals. Officials say it's at capacity for both dogs and cats. So is the Kansas Humane Society, which handles adoptions for shelter animals. The shelter's taking in an average of 30 animals per day. Adoption fees for most adult dogs and cats have been reduced. The Humane Society said in a social media post that it has also suspended offering holds on animals. The first full moon of summer will occur tonight. It is known as the Strawberry Moon, but the name has nothing to do with its color. The term comes from the Algonquin, Ojibwe, Dakota, and Lakota tribes. They've used the term Strawberry Moon to signal strawberries ripening and being ready to be picked. National Weather Service forecasters say tonight should be partly cloudy in Wichita. The Strawberry Moon is expected to peak at 6:56 p.m. Central Time, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac. We'll be back after this.
Support for KMUW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. A new trail in north-central Wichita honors the history of the city's Mexican-American community. The Woodland Park Historical Walk features photos and stories of some of the immigrants who lived, worked, and helped settle Wichita's north end. KMUW's Jennifer Anima talked with some of the people behind the project.
The path can be seen from 21st Street in Mascot, not far from the Little Arkansas River. Its large white panels feature text in both English and Spanish, detailing Wichita's Mexican heritage dating back to the 1870s. The nine panels explain the city's early meatpacking industry, civic engagement, activism, religion, and sports.
We are proud of where we came from here in the North End, and anyone from the North End, I think, would say the same thing.
That's Anita Mendoza. She's president of the North End Wichita Historical Society, a group of only three volunteers hoping to preserve the neighborhood's history for generations to come. She says the nine panels on the Woodland Park Historical Walk are just a small portion of what could have been included. The idea came from the Society's vice president and Kansas State Representative, Angela Martinez. Both women grew up in the area, and Martinez still lives just minutes from the park. She got the idea from seeing historical displays in prominent Black neighborhoods.
I just wanted that the history to be preserved and the stories to be told because of these, you know, the sacrifices and the work that was done that paved a path for us today.
Martinez says the display took nearly 10 years to complete. The panels feature photos, newspaper clippings, and a QR code that links to the Society's webpage, where names and more archives can be found. Many of the people, events, and companies are now gone, but some remain. Our Lady of Perpetual Help is featured and still stands as a Catholic church nearby. The annual men's fast pitch softball tournament is being held for the 78th time next month, and Villa Boxing Club is still up and running decades after it began. Jacob Villa is now the owner of Villa Boxing Club. It was once the North End Athletics Club, owned by his great-grandfather, Marshall Villa. Villa says his late father and grandfather would probably find the display unbelievable.
But to go back in time and just to tell you, even my dad, but tell my grandfather, like, one of these days, you guys are gonna, there's going to be a walk and you guys are going to be featured on their Villa Boxing Club. They'd probably look and laugh because of what has started and what it was and what it's become.
The boxing club is now in Plainview, where Villa continues his family tradition of coaching young athletes. Anita and Angela say this is only the beginning for them. Plans are in the works to try and create a cultural museum in the neighborhood that will feature more historical information and even artifacts for people to enjoy. More panels might be added, and possibly a community celebration, which they say is needed to merge both old and new generations.
You know, the older generation is passing away, and our younger generation needs to know our history. I think the community just needs to know that we've been here a long time. Mm-hmm. We've been in this community, we've been in this state, we've been in this country a very long time. And just giving an understanding of who we are as a community.
I'm Jennifer Anima.
Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
School may be out for summer, but not for lifelong learners. Join us for our next Why Should I Read This lecture? Dr. Rebecca Bechtold will speak about The House of the Seven Gables by Nathaniel Hawthorne. It's Tuesday, June 30th at 7 p.m. at KMUW Studios. Learn more at kmuw.org.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.